I don't know how your week went. I hope it was a good week. Mine was noisy. I'm a little hypersensitive to that because 11 years ago I lost this ear, the function of it, and the good ear has become extremely sensitive to any noise. And this week, wherever I went, seemed to be a week of noise. Whether it was at lunch or on the street or in the office, it was sirens, it was loud trucks, motorcycles, coffee grinders, just about anything. And I found myself thinking, this is an extremely noisy world, kind of an obvious observation. Wonder what the world did before they invented noise. Wherever you go, one way or another in this world, your thoughts get drowned out. In truth, what it does is it distracts us from everything that truly matters, and we barely even notice. There are very few great philosophers coming out of this time, this age. Could it possibly be because there isn't the time to think, to ponder, to wonder about life? Silence is a rare commodity in this world today. I had an interesting experience back in 2001 when I went to Bend for the feast for the first time. Had a rental car and friends joined me. We went out around the mountain loop highway they have, around mountain lakes and peaks. And there was one lake buried deep. The only way to get there was a long, rutted dirt road. So we kind of picked up the car's skirts and gingerly made our way back down that road. When we finally came to a place to park, I got out of the car and something struck me as odd. And it took a moment to really realize what it was. It was utterly, completely silent. There wasn't one sound. In fact, the silence was palpable. I've come close to that being in the redwoods of Northern California, but nothing quite like that. And after a few moments of just not moving because I didn't want to break the mood, I heard some crunching in the distance, and that was another car coming down the road, and that was the end of the silence. But this spoke of a world unlike our modern world. A time that really existed before the Industrial Revolution and people started flocking more and more to cities. It was commonplace to find silence in the world. Did David have time to think and to ponder? Years as a youth in the fields and the wilderness later, with nothing to interrupt him. He would later write in Psalm 119, verse 97, and many other verses, "Your laws or principles, O Lord, are my meditation through the entire day." Try doing that now. Very difficult. He had time to think, and he wasn't distracted by cell phones or iPods. Had a conversation once with a friend in the church who is a dynamo. Always busy, never stops. And I said, what would happen if you found yourself on a mountaintop or a seashore or a place that's special to you, but alone for the whole day, no interruptions, no people, just you, the scenery, and God? Would your brain implode? And they said, oh yeah, it would be terrible. It would be hell. And I thought, well, that's the difference between us, because to me, a rare thing like that would be heaven. But thinking that that is probably the more common attitude today, you have to be busy to feel that there's purpose. Is that what we've become? Do we actually think that this modern, frenetic world, the way we are forced to live, whether we like it or not, is normal or healthy? If so, Daniel Boone would disagree. When he was helping to unknowingly expand the West, and the West then was the Appalachians and the Ohio River Valley, he would move to an area, he'd settle in. Pretty soon others would follow him, and there might be, within time, 100 or so people in the surrounding region, not right next door. And to him, that was too much of a crowd, and he'd move further west. And they just kept following. And that happened several times. What he found is something we don't find anymore. The pace of modern living cheats us of that richness. Hopefully, the men on the hike today are experiencing some of that, but that's pretty much what you have to do to find it. We are so addicted to it, so used to it, that might be a better word, we don't consciously think of it that often. I told a tale, true story, some years back, about how the Erie Canal was built. Basically, the reasoning was the overland routes between the Great Lakes and New York City were horrendous. So to ease the burden back in the early 1800s, they cut a canal through the Beltline of New York State to run barges instead, straight to the Hudson River and straight to New York City, ease the problem. But bear in mind that the barges were being towed along this canal by mules. So by our standards, that's not a blistering pace. And yet the residents along the route were up in arms because they said this was going to increase the pace of living to an intolerable degree. They were closer to reality than we are. The Bible warns of a crowded, hectic world. In Isaiah 5, verse 8, it says, "Woe to them who join house to house and lay field to field until there is no place at all." And that verse is also speaking of people who are pushing others out of their property and their possessions so that soon enough only the rich can afford places where you can be alone. Our modern world shows us how not to know God, how not to build relationships, how not to grow spiritually beyond where we are. Stuff just keeps getting in the way. And we're all victims of this particular curse, because this is how the God of this world wants it. Anything that can distract us from what really matters. But if we want to grow in our relationship with God, the Bible gives us the keys. However, putting the kingdom first, which is really what we're talking about, does take some deliberate effort. Part of that effort is what the Bible refers to as meditation. You can use any modern word you care for, pondering, thinking, wondering. Part of that, the intrinsic part of it, is learning how to be at rest. It's something very hard to find or create today. The Sabbath speaks to resting. Even that's hard to find. The Revell Bible Dictionary has this to say about the concept of meditating: to actively consider or reflect, especially on God or His Word, to actively consider. The Hebrew words express the common practice of speaking aloud under one's breath, even when alone or we're thinking inwardly. So that can be applied to general thinking, not just prayer. And it mentions Psalm 119 as showing multiple examples of meditating in God's Word. Thus, it says, biblical meditation is a conscious act of reflecting on the Lord and His revelation of Himself in His Word. And that can't be done on the fly, because the noise we're addicted to in this world today drowns out God and His Spirit. And on one level or another, I think we all know that. God made a powerful statement to Elijah when he said he was going to appear to him. And he came in multiple examples of immense power. But the scripture said he was not in those things. He finally arrived with that still small voice, as we read in 1 Kings 19, verse 12. It guaranteed that Elijah had to listen very carefully. And it seems to imply that in many other parts of the Bible, that we're not really going to hear God if we don't quiet our spirit to listen. Through Paul, he tells us in 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, meditate deeply upon and cultivate these things. Give yourself wholly, entirely to them. The message is always, don't hold back. Because nothing about God or his way is superficial. And if we'll learn these things, then we'll find the following. You will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. This is from Philippians 4, verse 7. That one statement isn't quite the cop-out some people might think. Saying something and then saying you can't understand it. Is love any different? Try to define love toward different people. Why you love different people. It's almost impossible. There are many things in this life. We know when we're there. We understand it. We feel it. We see the fruits of it. But it's hard to define. And that's what it's talking about here. God's peace will be something that we may not be able to define, but it will be real. And as the verse says, his peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. And in verse 8, familiar scripture, whatever is true or noble, right or pure, whatever is lovely or admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's an active thing. And finally, from Isaiah 26, verse 3, he will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Someday, the scriptures tell us, we'll be learning firsthand what it means to be a God. Ultimately, that's our destiny. Ultimately, it's the destiny of the human race, to all who listen. What is it that makes a God? When you're at rest, you might want to meditate about that.